Do you live your life rock boat to rock boat? If so, then welcome aboard the Boatcast, the podcast for rock boaters by rock boaters. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Paul Fowle. Welcome.
Hey, what's going on?
What is happening, man?
Not a whole lot. You're looking at it.
Well, a lot's going to be happening in very soon, come first weekend of May there.
Yes, very excited. Rock by the Sea 2024. It's going to be an exciting year. I heard it's y'all's first go.
Yeah, we were just getting a little bit of the scoop from Paul here, and the more we hear about this, the more blessed we feel to be part of this incredible, between the music and the people and the looking to cure pediatric cancer, I mean, so much love here.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun doing it over the past, I don't even know how many years it's been going. I feel like this is going to be like my 9th or 10th or...
Wow. That's amazing.
Mine, but they've been... Yeah. I mean, the rock boat itself has been what, like 25 years or something like that. So it's got to be close to that.
And, you know, speaking of rock boat, you're a rock boat alum.
Yes.
No, yeah. Kudos.
Yeah. Hashtag love sweat.
Yeah. We were just getting into that. We need some love sweat. I know Six Man's listening.
Yeah. I mean, I was just saying, I just saw Ryan the other night and I was like, hey, man. Ryan from Sister Hazel was like,
nudge, nudge.
He's like, I like playing that Happy to Be song. I'm like, you could play it. Just invite me.
It's funny you mentioned that because I popped on only a few minutes before the podcast started because I was listening to that song, honestly.
That's great.
I was like, oh, man, I'm already in the, like, in Riverside kind of waiting on the artist to pop in, but, yeah, I was kind of just jamming out. Just so.
Taken away, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. H-E-A, man.
I think it's awesome how the artists in this community all like interlap and sometimes work with each other. And I want to give you a shout out, Paul, for the excellent work that you did with Steve Everett on the short documentary.
Oh, thanks, man.
Little Wins. And yeah, it was incredible. Can I pick your brain for a second? What has that transition been like from music to, and obviously you're still doing music, but like, is that being like editing film and directing, has that always been like a passion of yours?
I've always enjoyed it. I've always, for like my whole career, I always filmed stuff constantly with the intent of like going back and editing it and stuff. And you know, you get bogged down with other things. And so I was never able to like fully devote enough time to like produce anything meaningful. I did some lyric videos for myself. I did some other videos for myself. I think my first music video I did, I actually employed the audience of the show. It was a show at the Bright Box Theater in Winchester, and I had all the fans film from their phones and then send it to a Dropbox link. And so
that's awesome.
I think it's on YouTube still. It's just the Happy to Be music video. And so I've always wanted to do it in a, you know, bigger capacity, and COVID kind of forced the hand at that. So I'd started like a little vlog. I was RVing at the time, and when COVID happened, like all my friends were like, hey, can you edit this for me? Hey, can you edit this for me? And one thing sort of led to another. Steve was like, I'm going to be making a new record, and like, I want to film it, and it's like a crazy time, and like, are you cool with doing that? And I was like, yeah, man, it's like, let's go. So I drove from LA out to Nashville, and then we went to Oklahoma, and we didn't have a direction. We just kind of like filmed everything and edited it together. It took a while. I mean, it was like first time either of us had done something to that scale, and a lot of challenges and stuff, but it was so much fun, man. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, it's excellent work, and it's going to be great to see you both at Rock by the Sea.
Yes.
And for those who are listening, go buy your tickets still at rockbythesea.org.
Seriously, get on that.
You know, what has your experience been like from the first time you went to Rock by the Sea and just seeing it grow and manifest into this you know, major event to help raise money for pediatric cancer.
Man, so the first time I went to a Rock by the Sea, I was actually playing guitar for Melodyme. I don't know if you guys remember yeah, them.
Of course.
Yeah, great buddies of mine. And I was filling in the position while they looked for a permanent guitar player, which actually turned out to be John Wiley. And and by that time, it already had a reputation. When I first started going, it was already an established thing. I don't know if it was necessarily as big as it is now, but it was already on the map. Like everybody already, all the artists wanted to do it. First year I went was in Panama City. It was before they went back to St. George Island. And it was just, I just remember having a blast. Like I'd never really had an experience at that point in my career where people just wanted to get to know all the artists and like hang out and just ask questions about stuff. And it was just a, you know, family vibe. It was a really cool, like, I don't know. You just you just didn't want to leave. You didn't want the nights to end. You know, it's just like, where can we go after this? Let's go to the beach. Like, let's guitars everywhere. Like, it was just so fun. And that's still the essence of it. I mean, we jam until all hours in the morning. It's great for us as artists because we get to spend a lot of time with each other. A lot of times we see each other in passing. And so this is like, we get like a week to just hang out and collaborate. We write. We jam. And then on top of that, we get to know these amazing fans, and through, you know, both of us, just coming together, we raise all this money for children's cancer charities. And like what could you do this better than that? Like, you're just having fun, playing music, being creative, hanging out, making new friends. And it's just all for charity. It's amazing.
This year. And so this is our first year. I think it was mentioned that we're getting the opportunity to cover and to do some interviews before and during, and then hopefully yeah, after. But I think it's awesome how there's also like cool, like, you know, periods of time where you can interact with people and, like, you know, and there's still music going on in a setting like cornhole.
Yeah.
You know, that's, yeah. Now had there always been events like that built into it, or is that newer?
No, I mean, it's not newer per se, I guess, but it wasn't always like that. But I think we've been doing it for a few years now. But it's slowly grown. I think like when it first started, even before I was there, I think it was just like one day. I think it was like a Saturday. And it was like in a parking lot outside of the venue on St. George Island. And it's slowly grown. I mean, as you guys probably know now, I mean, I think the first like legit event is on a Wednesday now. Mm-hmm. And so it's like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, brunch on Sunday. So it's like it's turned into, now people will go there and rent a place for a week,
yeah,
rather than just popping in for like, because in terms of vacation rentals, I guess if you're going to rent for like 2-3 days, like, I don't know, a weekly rate is better. I don't know. But it's, yeah, it's everyone's preferred it that way. That's just like people are going to start rolling in on like the 28th to 29th.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I'll be there on Sunday. So, and just, you get to relax and sort of just like, that's my favorite time. It's just like you get to kind of be there and enjoy, you know, just the few people that are there that early, and just ease your way into the weekend. It's not like you're just getting there that day and everything starts, which is fun as well. It's more exciting, but I like the slow roll. It's been my favorite week for a reason every year. You know, it's so cool to be able to hang out with all your friends and, you know, in a beautiful place.
Do you typically fly or drive down?
I'll drive just because I have so much gear. I think I flew last year. But this year, yeah, I'm gonna bring a little bit more stuff. I have like video stuff and music stuff this year.
Nice.
So I'll be I'm filming, like, Earth Angel is going to be doing a set. We can get into that too. I'm on both sides of the fence on all of this stuff. So, but I'll be filming some stuff for Earth Angel. They're doing a set. I believe they're playing their Wings on the Water album that they just wrote and recorded in Tulum last October. I believe they're going to play that whole set or that whole record front to back, which would be super cool. I'm going to film that.
Nice.
And then also, yeah, I'm playing with Brett Wiscon. I'm in his band for his set. I'll be jamming with other folks as well. So I got a lot of gear to bring this year. But I'll be driving down coming from Nashville for that. So
speaking of the jamming with other folks, is that something y'all plan in advance, or is there also some off the cuff, like, hey, you should come up on, oh, you know this song?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of both. I think there's certain people that know when I'm playing a set, like, that last song is going to be all hands on deck. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I don't even have to ask. I will ask, but some people are more open to that. Some people are not, which is, you know, to each their own. But a lot of it happens on the spot. It's like you bump into someone you haven't seen in, you know, months, and you're like, oh, man, we got to jam on this song. And that's, yeah, again, that's where all the magic happens is like in the moment. So I'd say a lot of it.
I feel like we're joining like a fraternity, like, guys.
It is. It's
like, everybody
yeah.
already are like has been doing this for so long, and you're just kind of on the outside. Kind of. Luckily, we did Texified. We went down to Texas.
That's a good warm up. That's a good starter event. Yeah,
very much. I consider some of the stories much like a warm up to that, but
yeah,
to a next level type of thing.
I actually heard they were doing like a eclipse party at their place, the Connors.
Yeah,
they were.
That would have been super cool. But
I texted Leah actually.
Yeah.
The other day, it was yesterday, I think. And I was like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they always respond, and they didn't respond.
Yeah.
And I was like, ew, fine.
Full house.
And then she got back to me. She's like, hey, we have all these people here. We're having this thing. And I'm like, that is so cool.
We were invited, Chris.
Were we?
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, oops. Yeah. I don't remember.
Unfortunately, it's not a hop, skip, and a jump away for us.
Us.
We would love to be there.
I thought about just surprising them, but... I don't know. It's a long drive, man.
Yeah,
it is. Like, you fly, and then I didn't realize when we had landed, Mark got a rental, and we got in the car. We put the address in.
Still got an
and
hour.
It said like 3-hour drive. I'm like, geez.
Oh, where'd you fly into?
Dallas.
Oh, really? Yeah, I feel like I flew into the Love Airport. I thought it was only like an hour, but maybe it was like
3-hour drive. Because you know, we stopped at Bucky's for an hour.
Okay. Yeah. You got to do that though.
And the beer store.
Yeah.
Which took a significant amount
of time. The essentials, you know? Well, they do live out in the sticks, man, so you got to come prepared, you know?
Yeah, we survived the tornado. I mean...
There's always excitement going on in Birthright, Texas.
Yeah.
Texas 5 was awesome. I'm kind of bummed they're not doing it anymore, are they? So
no.
But that was a very similar event. I mean, all of these people come to all of these events. Like the fan base, the family is so supportive of anything that happens in this scene to raise money for these charities. And it shows. I mean, even we were doing Rock by the Sea in like Ohio up in what was that place called? The island up there. There's been so many spinoffs of this festival and for good reason. It's just, I mean, people just want to take this energy all over. And I'm a fan of it. I hope we get more and more of that. But yeah, Rock by the Sea is that's like the heart, the beating heart of all of it. So
and the merch. The shirts that they have this year, I just have to give a shout out. I don't know who designed them, but there is a shirt that Mark had bought, and it says "Drinking for the Kids."
Yeah, that's our motto, man. It's like it. That's literally. I mean, especially you know back at Harry A's, like we would do artists with like special guest at the bar, like bartend.
Oh, nice.
We don't know how to bartend, you know. We're just pouring it all out. We're just like, you can have all of it, man. But we really do. Like as you'll see, man, we drink a lot for the kids. Cause all that, I mean, it sounds funny, but all of that money goes towards the charity. You know, a percentage of the revenue at the bar goes to these charities. So, helping yourself and helping some kids too.
Totally. So listen, if you're heading there, you can already pre-order and then pick them up there.
Yes.
So that's what I'm doing. Less packing, you know, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Less muss and fuss at the checkout line, you know. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
Did you ever think as an artist when you you know, as you were going through your journey as an artist, that you'd have the ability, you know, obviously I feel like most artists want to make authentic, beautiful music. And then at the same time, obviously, if it's your life, you obviously would like to be compensated. But like in your journey, did you ever think in your wildest days that you'd be going to music festivals just to raise money to help kids?
No, man, I don't think, I mean, it's hard to, you know, it's been a while since I've been in that, I guess, those shoes. But no, I don't think I ever thought I would do this every year. You know, this is almost a third of my life now that I've done this festival every single year. And I hope it goes on, you know, for another third of my life. I don't know how far we can carry this thing, but I think as long as people still want to show up and make music and send the money in the right direction, like there's really no end. We constantly have new artists. I mean, there's definitely lots of fan favorites that come back every single year, but Beth is still great about bringing new talent in that she finds on the Rock Boat or otherwise. We've had lots of great artists that are either local to where the music festival is in Florida and in other spots. A lot of Georgia artists too, Atlanta based, because Six Man's based out of there too. So yeah, I feel like it's a self-perpetuating machine. Like as long as people want to keep showing up and having the best week of their life, it's hard to argue with. It's like, there's not a lot about it that sucks. The worst part about it used to be driving from the airport to St. George Island. Now you're right next to the airport in Okaloosa Island or whatever. So
let's just change gears a tiny bit and talk about Earth Angel Charities. And what, you know, what's your genesis with that amazing organization that Jan Allen has created?
I think I was in like the first iteration before it was legitimately called Earth Angel. There's a time Jan was just like trying to help the artists, and she was trying to figure out how to bridge that. Like, how could she help artists and how could that in return benefit charity? And it took her, I think, a couple tries to figure out what that model was. But yeah, I've been working with her since 2016 or 17. And again, it started, she sponsored the last batch of songs that are recorded, and only two of them came out. I think we recorded seven, but because of COVID and all that stuff, and just the world stopped, and I started doing more video stuff, and it, you know, it's just sitting in a hard drive somewhere. But yeah, she had switched gears during that time to where she was basically funding these records and then was selling the records and merch along with those records, in addition to her music festivals that she does. All of that money now goes to the charity. So she's found a way to support the artists through that in a more constructive way. Excuse me. But it's growing so fast now. I feel like when we first started working together, she was sort of finding out how this is going to work. And it is like hitting a stride. They've released two records, Earth Angel, or Wings Volume 1, Wings Volume 2, and Wings on the Water, which is the Tulum one. And they're doing another one in October. I'm actually going to go film that. We're going to make a short little documentary about that process. Nice. And Brian Facchino deserves a shout. He's producing all these records. And they just, you know, they get artists from this community. I think last year was like Megan Slankard, Megan Farrell, Steve Everett, the Greenlight Morning guys. Telephone Tag. But yeah, they go down and they write music, and then they're going to start selling this record at Rock by the Sea. And, well, I guess they already did start selling it, but they're going to sell more of it at Rock by the Sea. And all that money is going to go right back to Children's Hospital Colorado and the University of Florida Health and all that. So
cool.
Yeah.
Now, do artists, like, I'm going to compare it to the Rock Boat. Do artists bring, and I honestly don't know the answer to this, so do you guys bring your own stuff to then sell when you're there?
At Rock by the Sea?
Yeah.
Yeah, like our own merch and stuff? Yeah. So we'll have merch. I assume every artist will have merch. I got a bunch of old merch. Like I said, this past weekend I did a show with John Wiley and his band at Jam and Java, and that was like the first show I've played with the band, minus last Rock by the Sea, since COVID. So I'm just kind of getting back into it. I got to get my merch game back together. But yeah, everyone should have some merch. They'll have a dedicated area to set up for merch. So, and a whole crew, of merch people running that as well. So it's a pretty well oiled machine at this point. So
awesome. You know, I always find this to be a fascinating question. What is the most memorable piece of music equipment that you ever remember buying, and or your first piece of equipment?
The first piece of equipment was electric guitar, sort of like set, I guess you could say. There were these things, they probably still exist. It's like $175. You get like a crappy guitar, a crappy little 5-watt amp, like some strings, like it's a whole probably on Amazon package. But that was like the first sort of guitar setup that I ever got. And that was like a game changer for me, because I always like played my dad's guitars, like his acoustic guitars, but all my idols were like Clapton, Hendrix, Steve Ray Vaughan. So I wanted to shred, you know, I wanted to play electric guitar. So getting that was the most memorable. And I still have it. It's in pieces. Like that was also the first guitar I learned, just kind of like, once I got a better guitar, I took that one just completely apart to sort of just figure out, you know, how it all worked and how it was wired. And, I don't do any of those, modifications or repairs to my own guitars these days, 'cause I know I'll screw it up. And, we got a guy, Marty McMillan. I got to give him a shout. He builds the guitars for me and Steve and nice. Matt and Kevin from Rude Music that now play with Laney Wilson. He builds Kevin's guitars. He's amazing luthier. He does all that. But that was the first piece of gear that I got that's like most memorable, I would say. First electric guitar.
Nice.
Yeah.
And at this current event, I mean, at the current location for this year's Rock by the Sea, how many times have you been to Okaloosa,
am I just once right? Yeah, just last year. It was last year. I didn't, the only Rock by the Sea I haven't done since I started was the one before last year, and then the one before that was online. But yeah, so once at this, I think it's called Rick's on the Water. And it's massive. I mean, it's a huge place. There's like an indoor restaurant area, which kind of becomes our indoor singer-songwriter area. So we'll have, you know, solo acoustic, duo acoustic. The brunch will be in there. It's a little bit more low-key. I mean, people still talk and all that kind of, you know, people are eating dinner as well, but it is like a nice little listening room. Then if you walk past that room, you come into like the middle, which is sort of half indoor, half outdoor, and that's the main stage. And on the other side of that is another inside indoor area, which is another sort of singer-songwriter vibe as well. And we'll basically bounce between those three stages if we do it like last year. We'll bounce between those three stages just so people aren't overlapping too much. Because when the band is on the main stage, it's usually a band. So if there's any acoustic acts in either of those other two rooms, even though there's doors, people are walking in and out. So we just try to, you know, while we're setting up the band, we'll play acoustic in one of the others. So, it just depends on the lineups. Beth keeps adding people. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know,
good some problem people, to have for the
it,
listeners.
It is. Honestly, for me, the more music, the better. And I just love that Beth will be out and see a band and she's like, I love this band. You have to be at Rock by the Sea. And we just make it work. It happens every year. And it's exciting. So yeah, I'm sure it'll happen this year as well.
What's it like for you as an artist to be able to be at a festival, but yet, I mean, cause I think we all can say that we've been to music festivals, you know, nationally known international music festivals maybe, but like you don't have this camaraderie between fan and artist. And what is that experience just with Rock by the Sea alone been like for you, for maybe a new Rock by the Sea or who's going this year, who's not had the experience like ourselves? What has that been like for you?
It's the most unique thing about it. You know, like any other music festival I do ever, which hasn't been in a while, but like you just hang out backstage, you know, you talk to some of the other artists, but maybe not even that, you know, everyone's kind of on their own time schedule. And maybe you're doing something while some other artist is eating and you don't want to bother them. It can almost be isolating, even though it might be a really cool gig. But there's none of that. I mean, I don't know if we've like intentionally done this, but I don't even think we've played at venues that even have places for the artists to hide. Like Harry A's, like there's just like, you're just there. When you're done your set, you walk off stage and you're in the crowd. So it's like, you know, there's no green rooms. There's no, you know, there's none of that, but it forces a connection. And I don't mean forces in like not wanting to do it, but it just forces that connection. And it just like, I don't know. It's like everyone expects it. Everyone knows that that's why they're there. From an artist point of view, like I think by now, if you go to Rock by the Sea, you know that that's like half of it. Like you're going to do your set, but you should be there watching your buddies and like, you already know everyone for the most part, unless you're like super new. And if not, that's like your opportunity to like meet all these amazing people that you can then, you know, they're going to want you to play at their houses or play at their events. And, it's a great networking for someone who's never been there before. And on your side too, like as non-musicians, I mean, like it's like any other human event. Like you're going to meet people that have the same likes that you have. I mean, you guys obviously share this very important community. And so I've seen so many non-musical relationships spin off from this and jobs happen. And just like, you just never know. It's a very exciting atmosphere. So honestly, for the new people, like, just like be ready for anything and get excited. Cause it's super fun. And, I don't know. You just never know what's going to happen. Impromptu jams, just meeting the right person, you know, like just, there's a lot to be excited about for it.
It's, I'm like, I wish we were there right now.
Super.
we had an amazing conversation with Floor Bird and Greenlight Morning. That was our last episode that we released earlier this past week. And, that coupled with what you're saying, it's just like a like goosebumps. I just wish we were in Danny's van driving down. Super pumped, Paul.
Hopefully, it's like a conversion van or something. You got the TV in the middle, you know.
we're gonna try to make it as memorable of a trip down. We're gonna try to do some podcasts, maybe get some artists on the phone while we're recording, just to make it like fun. But, you know, I just encourage everybody to go to rockbythesea.org, buy your tickets. And if you see an event like Cornhole,
Euchre.
Mark, what's the other one that the other Aaron's doing?
Yeah, Euchre.
Euchre, yep.
Still there's availability for those two, so get on it.
I was going to say there's also a bourbon tasting with Hammer. I doubt it's still available.
Bingo with the Megans.
Yes, Bingo with the Megans.
It's just fun. It's constant fun. I mean, the hardest part for most people is going to be waking up to go to those things. You know, you're going to be partying all night and then you're going to wait like, crap, I got bingo this morning, you know?
Looking forward to this more than I was looking forward to going on the rock boat. And
wow,
the reason
bold statement,
it is a bold statement, but
I see it on your face though.
But because like I've been on 10 rock boats now, right? You kind of know, kind of like have already prepped yourself knowing to what to expect. But the expect the unexpected type of thing is something I love.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. And also I've been going, like I said, I don't know, 10, maybe, I really don't know, but it's been a lot and there's no drama, man. It's like, it's so easy. Everyone just wants to be happy there. There's so many good things about it, but that's probably one of the best things about it is just everyone's in good mood. Everyone just wants to listen to some music, hang out and catch up with these people.
Everybody's happy to be.
Exactly. Yeah.
I see what you did.
Yeah, dude. I love it. More of that.
He doesn't speak often, but when he does, zinger.
Yeah, dude.
The Aaron Bright gave me a whole bunch of shit because I don't talk too often on these podcasts. And the last episode, that was funny.
Paul, I want to thank you so much for finding time to chat with us about this amazing music festival, Rock by the Sea. If you're listening to us, go grab your tickets. If you want to go do cornhole or another event, you can, and you can actually give your spot to an artist to play as well. So if you have fears about playing cornhole and losing to me, you know, it's okay. I get it. Just, you know, it's for the kids. So buy your tickets.
If you've never heard of Euchre, support an artist to play for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I still don't know what it is, and we've been doing me it either. For like 4 years. Yeah.
I actually have like a link up that I'm going to try to learn how to play this evening.
Like a YouTube video? I need to do that.
Well, there's like rooms where you could go in and play.
Oh, cool. Okay. Like paper.
You know,
like
the old Yahoo
money?
Games and stuff. Yeah. Oh, they got something like that. So okay. I'm going to test it out.
Paul, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us. And we'll see you in a couple weeks, man.
Yeah, man, it's going to be super fun. I'm excited to meet you guys in person, and thanks for letting me on here.
Heck yeah. Safe travels, man.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Drive that van safe.